So would you just bow your heads and repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I need eyes to see. I need ears to hear. And a heart to perceive what your Holy Spirit has prepared for me. Amen? Okay. So, I found a box with some cassette tapes. And I have a unit in my office that does both, cassettes and CDs. It's a good thing because this is dated 3/6/94. March 6, 1994. I met this young man. He wasn't that young, but his name was Bud Roy. I was in Kansas City, Missouri, with my brother and his wife, and we were there for a conference. And Bud was pulled out of the audience of about 2,000 by a prophet of the Lord who gave his name because of a vision. And the vision was, this man saw a rosebud. So he says, I believe there's a man here that's named Bud. And he said, I saw a crown on it, so I believe it could be that his name is Roy or royalty. And all of a sudden, from the back of the auditorium, heard this screech. And this man ran down to the center aisle and landed like a person who's landing on home base, sliding into the podium. Tears rolling down his eyes, and we got to meet him after that word that God gave him. And he was actually from Boston. And he had a big argument with God years before because he told the Lord that he wasn't French. And of course, if you translate the word Roy into French, it's roi, which is king. So he was commissioned of the Lord to minister in Haiti. And he went around the world several times in obedience to God, but he lost his family because they couldn't agree with the calling that God put on him. Well, he ministered at Grace Church of Christ on 3/6/94, and I re-listened about what I learned with this man who was sent for me, because he came here in March of that year, the following year actually, and he shared with me something that I had never heard before, and it relates to the bride. Why is the bride unable to do what she's been called to do? Because she argues. Well, it couldn't have been God because I'm the only one that heard it. Or, I'm too afraid, if I do this, then somehow something is not going to happen the way that it should. So therefore, I'm not going to do it until I get 2, 3, 4, 5 confirmations. And so obviously, that bride is anointed of what? What is she anointed of? Whom is she serving? Is she serving the living Jesus, or is she serving the spirit of?
Fear.
Fear. And God did not give us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. So when you have power, love, and a sound mind in you, you're not going to debate about doing what he told you to do. You're going to carry out the commission. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do it even if you do it afraid. And he happens to share on this particular cassette that the Holy Spirit said to him, do you want to conquer your fear? Because he saw that he wasn't completing. This was at the beginning of his ministry. And he says he wasn't able to complete anything. He was doing what he could, but he was always having an argument in his mind. And so the Holy Spirit said, because your mind and your emotions are ruling instead of your spirit. Well, when your spirit operates, you're going to do what he tells you to do, and you're going to obey what he tells you to do, and you're going to carry out the commission, and you will step out of the boat, and you're going to walk on water.
Amen.
And if you start sinking, who's going to pick you up?
Jesus.
Okay. So he said to him, if you Kim, because he's facing me now. We're out to dinner. We're at Lido's. Anybody remember Lido's? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite places. I looked at him and I said, well, what is the word that you have for me, bud? He says, I have a word for you because you need to grow in your obedience. Well, I thought I was doing pretty good. So he said, tonight, before you go to sleep, you ask the Holy Spirit, what is the percentage of the times that you make a decision under the anointing of fear versus the anointing of obedience? So I did go home, and I dropped him off at the place where he was going to be sleeping. And it snowed that night. And the Lord had given me, because I shared with him, I said, well, the word that I keep getting is 75-25. So 75% of the time I believe that I'm in obedience to the Lord, and 25% I bow to fear. So Bud looked at me and he says, well, okay, all right. He says, we'll go with that for tonight. But he said, before you go to bed, make sure you ask the Lord if that's a true number or if it's correct. No problem, Bud. Totally agree. So I went home. That night, I woke up halfway through the night, and the Lord said, you have the numbers, but they're in reverse. 75% of the time, you are now obedient to the demonic spirit of fear. Oh, my God, I can't be. You know, this is me, Lord. he knows how to pull your pants down and expose your nakedness. Well, I'm totally naked in bed. Yes, I got shorts on, but let me tell you, I didn't feel a thing. The bottom line is, he was telling me it was 75-25, and 25% of the time I was actually obeying. And look at the results. So Bud was there, and that Sunday morning, Mother and I, Mom, went to pick him up. He was at a condo in West Springfield. There was about 3.5 inches of fresh snow that had fallen during the night. Remember, his ministry was to Haiti as a Frenchman and a king of the French background. That's why we have French bread. He walked out of that condo with no shoes on, no socks, a burlap wrapping looking like a diaper, and big black chains with ankle irons, and irons on his wrists, a collar iron, and chains hanging from all of them. And my mother looked at me and said in French, "Y est-tu fou?" Those of you who understand French, is he crazy? He's walking in the snow, and of course, thank God, the car was warm. So we went to church, and he walked out into the main sanctuary dressed in this fashion. And let me tell you, he got people's attention. That was Sunday morning. He gave them a report of what he had done in Haiti, asking the white people to repent of what they had done to the blacks. Amen. And he stood in the main city, I forget the name of it now, Port-au-Prince, right? And there's a huge park, and by the time he was ready to leave, the park was overflowing into every street with repentance. That was Bud Roy. He ministered that night in the chapel, and that's what's in here. That's what I listened to this afternoon. And I'm reminding you that to the degree that you bow to fear, that's the degree of your faith that's going to operate. So that day I learned that 25% of my prayers were going to be answered because my allegiance was 75% of the time to the demonic spirit of fear. Can the demonic spirit of fear operate in you 75% of the time? Yes, he can. It's up to you. Romans 6:16 says, to whom you submit to, you become a?
Slave.
slave to. Is the church bound to the spirit of fear?
Yes.
How do we break it? By standing and obeying and doing what he tells us to do in spite of being afraid. There are times that the Lord will tell you to do something, and if you have no ability, cry out to the Holy Spirit, because that's what I had to do. Now, am I in total freedom of that spirit? I thought I was, until one day I'm walking, and a very beautiful day, and some kind of a crash came next to me, and every hair on my head and my body went straight up. And I said, Lord, I thought I wasn't bowing to fear. He said, do you see the shock value of that noise created your awareness that there's still some of it operating in you? So how do we do? Well, we do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do to the very best of our ability, and it's a consistent walk. Every day you're going to face, oh, I want you to do such and such, and then you're going to hear the reasonings. And those reasonings are going to come with great logic. To stop you from obeying. But if you obey, and when you obey, you will see the fruit of what you've done, and the people that you end up ministering to will get healed in spite of you. Because it's not about you, it's about him. It's about what he's using you to do. The commission isn't for us to shake the whole neighborhood. It is to shake the ones he tells you to. And sometimes it's just to lift them up and carry them to the next level. Not to make them ashamed. Not to expose someone. That's not God. Mm-hmm. You don't see the Lord telling the woman at the well, oh, well, you go back and live with your first husband or third husband or whatever. It's not the way he works. Mm-hmm. He is totally able to heal all of us. And tonight, this is what I felt we needed to do. If you'll just bow your heads, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to eradicate that spirit out of us. So if you'll put your right hand over your heart and your other hand over your memory banks in the back of your head. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm a product of my background.
I'm a product of my background.
And a lot of fear came into me.
And a lot of fear came into me.
From the time that I was exposed.
Not only to my family,
but to my teachers and authorities.
Lord Jesus,
I'm asking for healing in my memory banks and in my heart so that I can stand against fear and even do it afraid when you commission me to do your work for your glory. I'm asking this. Because I know your Holy Spirit took Peter, transformed him, and do the same with me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen?
Amen.
How many know that Peter did not know what was inside of him? He had no clue because he says, I will never betray you. And what had happened? Within an hour, he put both feet in his mouth, laid the biggest egg that you could think of, and by 3 a.m., when the rooster crowed, or 4 or 5 o'clock or whatever, we don't really know the time, but we know the way. And he took off, and he didn't want anywhere to be seen. He was that typical child that goes into the bedroom, takes the pillow, covers himself, and he stayed there until Jesus came. And the Lord had given him a word. And he said, when you return, help your brothers. So did God know that he would be on flight for a while? How many of you and I have flown in the wrong direction for a little while? And then all of a sudden we realize, oh, help! That's the best prayer in town. Just cry out for the Holy Spirit. Help! And he will help you. He'll give you courage when you don't have any. He'll give you grace when you think there's none left or that you don't deserve any. And I guarantee you, if the rest of this week is anything like the rest of this month, we will see mighty signs and wonders as the Lord continues to overwhelm us with his grace,
Amen.
To overcome every form of fear, and to be in love with the region that we're in, to do that which he's called us to do, and that is to redeem this area. To redeem it. It's not lost. The church is asleep. But we're waking up.